How they do podcast family? How are you? I trust that you are well, and I trust that things are turning around for you. This is your girl NGW, and this is another episode of The Spoken Word. A hearty welcome to our first time listeners, and it's an extra big up and thank you for those who are joining us week after week and episodes after episodes. Blessings to you. For this episode, I want to consider it an intimate one, a very personal one, one that is asking us to do an introspection, one that is asking us to just check our hearts, to ensure that our hearts are aligned, to ensure that our hearts are in the right position, beating at its right beat and pace and size and just everything about the heart. It's a matter of the heart today. And as usual, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you even now. Hallelujah. We put no one above you. We put nothing above you. Hallelujah. We see you high and lifted up. You are indeed exalted. We just want to thank you for this another day, another hour, another opportunity that we can come to you, our Creator, the God who knows us inside out, the God who created us in his image and his likeness. Hallelujah. Oh, dear Father, even now, we give you everything about us, Almighty God, and we pray, dear Father, that your will and only your will be done. These are the mercies we ask. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. A question was asked in Psalm 24, and we know that David is responsible for most of the Psalms in that book. And a question was asked in the 24th chapter. It says, who may ascend into the hills of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And it's a question that I want us all to think about. Think about this question. Who may ascend? Who may go higher? Who may stay in the presence of the Lord? Who may linger in his presence? And as the question was asked, then it is very relevant now. It's one that daily I don't want to think we should be asking ourselves this question, you know, are we in a position to go higher with the Lord? Are we in a position to entertain his presence, to bear his presence, to carry his presence, to be a glory carrier? And I like that it wasn't left at the question. David didn't leave us blank with this one, because right after he gave us the answer, and he said, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. And let me just, that was from the NIV. Let me just switch over to the Passion Translation real quickly. Who then ascends into the presence of the Lord? And who has the privilege of entering into God's holy place? Those who are clean, whose works and ways are pure, whose hearts are true and sealed by the truth. Those who never deceive, whose words are sure. Hallelujah. And it's a question for us. It's an individual question, and it's a collective question. So as we think about it, as we reflect, because I know that we're at the place where we want more of God. We want more encounters. We want more experiences. We want to see more of the things of God with our own eyes. We want to be involved. We want to know more. And the answer for the more, so whatever the more is that you're asking for, the answer has been given to us, that we have to ensure that the state of our hearts and our hands, that they are right, that they are aligned. You know, there is a a little song. I think it is more like a song that we would have learned as children in Sunday school. Watch your hands, watch your hands. Watch your eyes, what they see. And it speak about just the different body parts and, you know, the action related. And we can say, watch our hands, what they do, or feet, where they go. And we could look at that, we could add to that little song. But from a tender age, we would have been, even if we didn't understand the depth of that song, we were introduced to know that, you know, for every action, there comes a reaction, there comes a penalty, if we may say so, or a reward for something. And we know that if our hearts are not pure, if our hands are not clean, then clearly we're not in a position to bear the presence of the Lord. We're not in a position to experience the more. What is the more that you have been asking God for? Are you one that has been saying, God, I want to walk more in your word. I want to operate more in your anointing. I want to see more. I want to hear more. Whatever it is, whatever the more is, you want to avail yourself more toward the will of God, whatever the more is. According to this psalm, we are being told that we have to ensure that our hearts are in the right place, our hearts are true, the works of our hands, they're pure. Our hands cannot be used to do good in the daytime. And when it gets dark, when no one is able to see us, our hands are doing things that are dirty. Our hands are pointing. Our hands are just not involved in the things of God at all times. The thing about it is that God sees everything and he knows everything. That's why he's all knowing. That's why he's God above all gods. This psalm started out by giving honor to God to see that he created everything. Everything in the world belongs to him. And from the, let me just read this from the Passion Translation. It says, God claims the world as his. Everything and everyone belongs to him. He's the one who pushed back oceans to let the dry ground appear, planting firm foundations for the earth. So the point is, God sees us and he knows us down to our very frame. Nothing at all can be hidden away from him. So if we think that we are able to do whatever we want to do at whatever ungodly hour or time, and then when we gather, whether, you know, congregational, or even when we try to seek the Lord in our own personal time and space, and then we know that things are not right with us, and we try to make no amends, then we're not in a position to ascend. We're not in a position to do the things of God. We're not in a position to carry even the light of God. Light and darkness, water and oil, those are things that they don't work well together. Oil and water will never mix. And so if we are doing the things that are of the dark, and God is the light of the world, then it means that we're not in a position. So again, this is a time where it's one-on-one. It's a time where we all have to check ourselves. And as we are doing this reflection, as we're doing this introspection, if there's anything that is coming to you, if you have any uncertainty, if there is any doubt about any action of yours, then it's an ideal time for you, for us, to ask the Holy Spirit to let us know the things that don't sit well with him, the things that are causing our hands to be unclean, the things that are causing our hearts to be impure. All things flow from our hearts. I think it's in Jeremiah. It says, these people, they worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far. We don't want to be that set of people. I know I don't want to be that person who pretends, because if it is just coming from our lips, if it's just coming from my lip, then it means that I'm in pretense. I don't want to be in pretense. Not when my heart cry is for more. And I know that I do have company. I know that you're also yearning for more. You are desiring more. That has been your heart cry for more of the things of God. And the Lord is seeing that everything that flows from us, it needs to come from our hearts and not our lips. We're not just going to say the things because it is what others need to hear coming from us. We're not going to say the things because someone is so close to me that if I say the wrong thing, they're going to be in disbelief, and I can't allow my character to be exposed. I can't allow persons to know that, you know, I am doing this, I am seeing that. But the point is, God who knows everything, God who is our creator, God who knows the end of our days before they even start, he knows the truth. He knows the truth. He knows the truth. In John 4, verse 24, I believe, we are told that God is a spirit, and they that worship him, anyone at all who seeks to worship him, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Truth is us identifying the works of our hands, if we may look at it, say it that way, and also the posture of our hearts. Are we at the place for God to come and meet with us? He met with Adam in the cool of day, in the Garden of Eden before sin entered. That was their meeting place, in the cool of day. I can just imagine that, just as though God had an expectation to meet with Adam. Adam also had an expectation for God to come and be with him. All of this, it was like clockwork. Show up, God would have been there. And they were both enjoying, I can imagine, this moment. Because the whole purpose of man is to serve God. The whole purpose of man is to worship him. But we can't worship him without our hearts being pure and our hands being clean. We can't worship him when we are contaminated. We can't worship him where we still have a residue. So on the surface, it appears well. So many of us, we have been schooled. We've gone through living this life, the quote-unquote Christian life. And so we know the song, we know the shake, we know the words, we know the sound, we know the dress. We know everything that has the look. But if everything was to be stripped away from us, and it's just our heart, what would be the color of our heart, if I may ask us that? What's the color of our heart? How is our heart beating? What is the size of our heart? If our hearts are enlarged, what is it enlarged with? Is it swollen because we are filled with pride and bitterness and envy, lies? God wants us to receive more. But he's asking us to give him more. The more that he's asking for is all of our hearts. The things that are bothering our hearts. The things that are causing our hearts to be misaligned. The things that are causing our hearts to not beat at regular pace. The Lord wants us to give all of those things to Him, everything. He's the God of the day as much as He's the God of the night. The things that are perplexing your heart, the things that are troubling your heart and your mind and your spirit, God already knows about them. But He's waiting on you to give them to Him. And this is what surrendering is all about. This is what giving God everything is about. This is what offering our bodies as living sacrifices, hoping for it to be pleasing and acceptable, is about. It means that we're giving God everything. In Psalm 51, David, after he had an ordeal, David, after he fell out of grace, a perfect example for all of us, regardless of where we find ourselves. David was guilty of murder. David was guilty of adultery. David was guilty of lies. David was guilty as charged. And David got to the point where he said, "Create in me a clean heart and renew your right spirit within me." David recognized that he was no longer at the place to entertain the presence of the Lord. We cannot thrive without the presence of the Lord. We cannot bear any fruits unless we are connected to the true vine. Connection speaks to the presence. Fruit bearing speaks to the presence. Everything happens in the presence of the Lord. And so I invite you, as I invite myself, to give God everything today. Do not wait another moment. Do not wait another day. The Lord wants you, wants us to give Him everything. Everything, everything, everything. The good and the bad. The indifferent, the ugly. The things that we don't understand. The things that we seemingly have no control over. The Lord wants us to be at the place where we can ascend, where we can go higher, come up to that higher place in me. The Lord wants us. It's an open invitation. So many of us were not able to accept the invitation because of even the thoughts that we're having. Where are those thoughts coming from? Because it's something that is within our heart. We've been hurt. We've been abused. We've been disappointed. We've been rejected. We're carrying so much. We go through the routine because we don't want to be naked, because we don't want anyone to judge us. But God, who is the righteous judge, He's saying, "Give me everything. Everything that you're carrying. I'm able. I'm able to carry it. I'm able to deal with it. I want your hands to be clean." The Lord has called so many of us to lay hands on the sick so that they will recover. But if our hands are dirty, if our hands are unclean, then when hands are laid in those state, it's a transfer that is not good. And God wants our hands to be clean. He wants us to be able to lift our hands and to offer sacrifices. There's a psalm that says, "May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." There's just so much freedom to know that when you've repented, and that's how repentance comes in. "Lord, I have done this thing. Lord, I have said this thing. Lord, I've been carrying the weight of this. But forgive me, I pray. I no longer want to carry this. I no longer want to do this. I no longer. Repentance is a turning away. Repentance is saying, God, yes, I've done it. I'm guilty. I found wanted. But I no longer want to do it. Break me off. Break me off from these bad habits. Break me off from this thing that feels as if I don't do it, if I don't show up, then I feel as if I'm addicted. Break me from this addiction. If we truly say that to the Lord, acknowledging where we are, and acknowledging that, Lord, it is robbing me of being who you've called me to be. It's robbing me of being where you want me to be. Then, this is where faith comes in. Faith is believing. You haven't started to operate from that place of freedom, where you're no longer bound, but you believe in your heart of hearts that, you know what? That was the last time I did that. That was the last time I said that. That was the last time I carried that. Then the word of God also says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. It doesn't matter how long you've been doing a thing. It doesn't matter how long you've been carrying this weight. It doesn't matter how long. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And so, as David encouraged us, we are going to ascend. Think of it. When a balloon is filled with helium, and it may be attached to a string, it's attached to a cord. But the whole purpose of even filling it with helium is that when you release it, it will go to the highest point. Your Father, He wants you to ascend. You were created as an eagle to soar. The eagle goes toward the sun. And so, as that helium-filled balloon is being released from our hand, I pray even now that as you take your rightful place and posture, that you also will ascend. You will soar like the eagle that you are. You will no longer be scratching at the surface, but you will soar. And the beautiful thing about it is, once we've gotten that experience, then I believe that we will continue to crave that experience. So as you soar, may the desire of your heart remain and be that you will continue to soar in the things of God. You will continue to soar as a son, as a daughter of the living God. And if you ever fall from that position, this reclaimed position, may you desire to soar again. The righteous man falls, I believe, 7 times, but he get back up. Soar again. Hallelujah. Lord, we just want to thank you for taking us back to the heart of worship, where it is all about you. We know that everything that we desire, everything that you've called us to be, once we get into that place of true worship, then we gain access. We move beyond the outer courts and we get to that place. Hallelujah. We are in the Holy of Holies with you. Hallelujah. We are in the position that you want us to hold. Hallelujah. Our ears will be open to hear. Our eyes will be open to see. Our hands will be clean. Our hearts will be pure. Hallelujah. Lord, we just want to thank you for fixing us this day. Thank you, Almighty God, that your blood still works. We thank you there, Father. We take our position. We take our freedom. And we give you total glory, honor, and praise as you have dealt with the matters of our heart today. In Jesus' name we pray. Holy love and blessings. Have a great day, night, evening, whatever time of day you are experiencing. Stay in the presence of the Lord. Bless you.